I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Anthony Brooks, and this is Radio Boston live from Manchester, New Hampshire.
And with just 8 hours to go before the first votes are cast in tiny Dixville Notch, actually, I should say 9 hours, down the stretch they come.
Get out and meet with people, talk with folks, spread the word, and work between now and Tuesday. This is the most important election of your lifetime.
This is not a state that likes big government. And if they do vote for somebody that has voted for big government, that means they didn't get enough information.
The game is on between a Reagan conservative and a Massachusetts moderate.
And people say, how can we ever balance the budget? Well, the funny thing, even in Massachusetts, we balance the budget every year. We have some people who want to make themselves heard. Hi, guys. Hi there, how you doing?
You love to take an underdog from wherever they happen to find themselves, and we stepped in the state in last place. Dead last. I called myself the margin of error candidate. We're not the margin of error candidate anymore. We're moving up.
And over the past few days, Meghna and I have been chasing the candidates and voters across New Hampshire. This hour, we'll have the latest on the race and what the candidates are saying. We'll also get analysis from two of the state's top political observers about why the New Hampshire primary still matters to everyone.
Here's a tiny hint. It's not a caucus. It's an actual primary with individual ballots and independence.
So we'll be talking with some voters about why, with just hours to go, they're still undecided.
Plus the latest ad wars on New Hampshire television and how the candidates are honing their attacks as they turn their attention to South Carolina. And Anthony, based on what we saw last night on Channel 9 here in Manchester, the attacks seems can be summed up like this. President Obama is a pessimistic European socialist.
Right, and Mitt Romney is a timid Massachusetts Obama clone.
And everybody else is an unelectable conservative. Well, according to the political ads, at least.
And listeners, we want to hear from you this hour as well. Participate by phone at 1-800-423-8255. You can give us a call, 800-423-8255, or on Twitter and Facebook at Radio Boston.
And as we've said, we're reporting live from Manchester, New Hampshire today. We've got a video to prove it. If you want to see us in our mobile studios here in Manchester, look for the video feed at WBUR.org. And if you do so now, I just waved. Hi, everybody.
Now, the New Hampshire primary is often all about surprises. Nobody knows if we'll have one tomorrow. That's the nature of surprises. But let's begin with what is a mini surge being enjoyed by John Huntsman. And Meghna, you spent much of yesterday chasing Huntsman. He's an interesting story, the former ambassador to China in the Obama administration. He struggled to catch fire, but he's picking up a little steam. What did you see?
That's right. Mini surge is a good way to call it. He's got 13% of likely voters in the latest tracking poll. A little over a week, he was polling in single digits. So it might not seem like a lot, but in so many ways, it seems that John Huntsman has been the hardest working man in Granite State politics recently. I saw him last night, and he said he'd done over 160 events all up and down New Hampshire. He's got the all-in New Hampshire strategy. And on the stump, he's really trying to make a virtue out of how he's fought for every vote. Last night in Keene, he actually started a town hall meeting by telling this story about getting bitten on the knee by a goat in Dover at a farm. And here's how he finished the story.
I was back in Dover about a week ago, and the goat showed up again. True story. Festooned with Huntsman stickers all over his body. Isaac is his name, and I say, not only are the voters here tough to get in terms of their support, the goats are even tough to get the support, only to learn that we did finally get the endorsement of Isaac. So that's a great sign for the Huntsman campaign.
So that was last night in Keene Town Hall meeting with John Huntsman. Meghna, give us a sense of how folks were responding.
Well, folks seemed to be very positive and respectful and intensely listening to Huntsman. He met at the Student Center at Keene State College. There were several hundred red chairs in a sort of a round formation around a center point where Huntsman stood, a huge screen with his logo, very telegenic setup. And you know, down the road in Exeter, there was a Mitt Romney town hall happening just about the same time. So when I got to Keene, I didn't actually expect that many people to show up. But Huntsman managed to pack the hall, really filled the group. And, you know, they were, as I said, quiet, respectful, really wanted to hear what he had to say, wanted him to sell his candidacy to them. It didn't really have sort of the tent revival feeling that some of the Ron Paul events have. Mm-hmm. But people did care what John Huntsman had to say.
Right. And what did he have to say? What did he tell them?
Well, I think what he talked about really encapsulates something that hasn't been spoken a lot about, the challenge that he's facing here in New Hampshire. I mean, John Huntsman is officially opposed to things like abortion. So when he was asked a question about that, he just sidestepped it completely. That is not a stance that's very popular here in the Granite State. But what he really talked about was having a realistic attitude about America's place in the world. And I haven't heard a candidate speak as plainly as Huntsman did about America's future and the possibility of the end of a era of American dominance. I mean, as you know, Anthony, he's lived abroad four times.
That's
was
right.
President Obama's ambassador to China, got attacked for that in the debates this weekend, especially by Mitt Romney. But because of that overseas experience, I tell you, it really gave his vision of what's happening in America right now, grounded it in a sense that I haven't seen before, gave it some weight. So listen to what he had to say.
You walk the streets of Beijing, you walk the streets of Shanghai, and there's energy, 8, 9, 10% growth for 30 years. They think their time has arrived. And you reflect on this country, 10,000 miles away, and all I can say is we're a little bit in a funk. We are a bunch of blue sky, problem-solving, can-do optimists. That's who we are. We're not used to being in a hole. And we've got to get out.
So, Anthony, the question is, will people buy this sort of realist view of America and John Huntsman being the doctor that can fix it? The thing is, I'm not sure Americans really vote on realism. Voting is an aspirational act in this country.
Right.
So we'll see if he can pull it off. But the biggest problem is what was happening down the road in Exeter, and that is, of course, the Mitt Romney juggernaut. And you were there in Exeter. What was going on with that town hall?
Well, that's the thing. Juggernaut is right. These Romney events are big. They're growing. Last night I was in Exeter, where more than 1,000 people filled a gymnasium. Good deal of energy and excitement. These events, they're carefully stagecraft. They're run with precision. They have sort of a feeling of a candidate who already has the nomination locked up, already running in the general election. He never mentions his opponents. Instead, he sticks to a very upbeat theme of country and patriotism, how he'll tell you how much he loves America. And last night, he left it to his wife, Anne, to tell the crowd that she thought her husband could save America. And when Romney does attack, he goes after President Obama, who, as you mentioned, he accuses of being a European-style socialist. So here he is speaking last night in Exeter.
This president has failed on the budget. He's failed on the economy, getting people back to work. He's failed internationally. His vision for America is wrong. Our vision is right. We believe in America.
Now, Anthony, Romney was campaigning last night with New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who took on the role of loyal campaign attack dog.
Oh, boy, in a big way. A couple of things going on here, of course. Romney's locking up these big endorsements. He was campaigning last week with John McCain. Now he's got Governor Christie, and Christie is really taking the role, as you say, of his attack dog. Here he is blaming President Obama for what hecklers were saying in the audience. Let's listen.
If she wasn't so disoriented by the loss of hope and change, she'd understand that Mitt Romney's the hope for America's future. Be inspired by someone who has built a life that America can be proud of, not by a Chicago ward politician. I doubt he is, but I hope the president's watching. I have a message for you, Mr. President. This is the type of disoriented anger your cynicism and your division is causing in our country. Bring our country together. Stop dividing it, Mr. President.
Well, Magna, there it is. This theme, Obama pessimist, European, Romney positive, American, it offers a bit of a preview of what the general election campaign might look like if Romney goes on to win the nomination.
And, of course, that's not going to be settled here in New Hampshire on Tuesday, but we'll see what happens in terms of how Granite State voters do vote. There is a real battle going on for second place, and one of the candidates who's vying for it is Texas Congressman Ron Paul. Joining us now is WBUR's Bianca Vazquez-Tonis, who's been covering Paul's campaign today and on the trail with him. Bianca, welcome.
Hi, Magna.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Stratham, New Hampshire, outside the Timberland headquarters. Workers just went back to their desk after listening to Ron Paul speak for about half an hour.
And what did he have to say to the Timberland employees?
Well, you know, he described his policies in a bit more detail than people might typically get at a campaign stop. He talked about, he defended his foreign policy ideas. He said that he's not an isolationist because he wants to renew trade with Cuba, for example, stuff like that.
But on the other hand, Bianca, as you know, Timberland really builds itself as a company that's very environmentally conscious. They've got those recycled boots that they're advertising all over the place now. And CEO Jeff Schwartz is involved in a lot of climate change initiatives, whereas Ron Paul has basically come out and called climate change a hoax. So how did that or his environmental stance go down in a place like Timberland?
Well, it's funny. They didn't ask him about climate change per se. They asked him about the EPA, which he said he wants to abolish. He went on to say that he, you know, stands by that and that he believes that private property protection is actually the best way to protect land and protect us from pollution. But even with that answer, you know, folks at Timberland, the ones I spoke to, seemed to really like him. People said that on TV and what they've seen in the media, from those appearances, felt kind of crazy. But
it looks like we actually lost the line there to Bianca Vasquez-Tonis somewhere in the mountains near Stratham, New Hampshire, covering the Ron Paul campaign. Bianca, if you can hear me, thank you very much.
Now stay with us. There's lots more to come. Two of New Hampshire's top political analysts on why this primary still matters and why it could reveal some big surprises tomorrow.
And also knowing the unknowable inside the mind of the undecided voter. Believe it or not, there are still a lot of them out there in New Hampshire, as we found out this weekend.
My name is P.K. Suchdev. I'm from Hollis, New Hampshire. I'm still at a toss-up between John Huntsman and Ron Paul. The economic and tax structure issues are the things that I'm really looking at. So we'll do a little bit of research, look on their website, see what they stand for, and then make a decision.
I'm Chris Quigley from Manchester, New Hampshire, and I am 33. I'm debating on, do you vote for the one you think can get the most votes, or the one that you really agree with 99% of what they're saying? Like, I do like Santorum and certain things about other ones, but I think Romney probably has the best chance, which might not be the right way to do it, but...
My name is Susan, and I'm 62. I'm not sure. Still undecided. I'm interested in Romney a little bit, but I don't like the way he's switched positions on a lot of things.
I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.